Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 13th of July, 2016, as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, call number 347-215-6180. Follow me at Twitter at WGerald, you can follow me at Instagram at Rizzo Gerald Quinn, and I'm going to try my best. My very best to navigate you through this brutal sports night, or lack thereof. There's nothing on. We all know that the All-Star break in baseball is the worst possible time in sports. Hopefully you're on vacation and you're not worrying about, you know, watching a particular sporting event with no baseball, no NBA, no NFL. And for the 30 hockey fans, no hockey. Well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that about the NHL. But a brutal time, as again, also we are in the middle of the All-Star break, baseball All-Star break, that will return. They'll return, of course, on Friday. Last night, you had the game last night. Good game last night. American League, again, continues its dominance over the National League. And, of course, that will result, again, in home field advantage for the American League, which I've been always against. I don't really particularly care if an All-Star game counts or should hold any event, if any, importance. The All-Star game, it doesn't make a difference. It's sheer, it's supposed to be sheer entertainment. Shouldn't hold any value towards determining a champion. If you've watched baseball over the last 25, 30 years, home field advantage in the World Series counts, and it counts big time. The team with home field advantage is 24-6 in the last 30 World Series. So the American League, again, will have a heads up in terms of that. And again, it's not the end all be all, but more as we saw the San Francisco Giants win a game 7 on the road against Kansas City a couple years back. But listen, you have home field, chances are in baseball that will get you a championship. So we'll see what happens. Should be a very interesting second half in baseball. Cubs have come back down to earth. Giants are hot. You know, who gets the pitchers? You know, that's the thing to be looking for in the trade deadline. Who's going to make a deal for that particular starter or reliever, the relief pitcher, a bullpen guy that can put a team over the top. So we'll see what happens with that over the course of the next few weeks. But we have to begin, unfortunately, with a non-sports related topic that has somewhat of a sports connection, but mostly it does not. And we're talking about the recent acts of violence, senseless acts of violence that have taken place across the country, and the responses to those acts of violence. A couple of nights ago, you had a situation at a Minnesota Lynx WNBA game where the players chose to come out with T-shirts that stated, "Change starts with us, justice, and accountability." In Dallas, Minnesota was playing Dallas. Minnesota, of course, came out with the shirts. Of course, Dallas had sustained their own tragedy in regards to police, in terms of 5 officers getting shot by a nutcase who, you know, whatever point he was trying to make on the police, again, took 5 lives of five police officers, 5 police officers, which is certainly something that you don't ever want to see anybody get killed, and whether a police officer or not. But in regards to the shirts, in regards to regards to what transpired after the protests, in terms of the protests of the shirt, in terms of the shirts, you had five, off-duty cops refused to do security for the game. So, excuse me, yeah, four off-duty cops refused to do security for the game. They walk out, and that was, in a way, their protest towards, you know, what the shirts that the players had wore. Now, you know, it's become a dividing line with, in regards to Black Lives Matters versus All Lives Matters. I'm not going to get into the gist of that. That would take entire, I could do 10 shows on that. But I don't understand what, first of all, I don't understand what it solves. If you are a off-duty cop doing security and you see that shirt, and again, the shirt said, the shirt didn't say, F the police. The shirt didn't say, cops need to be locked up. The shirt didn't say a number of things that could have been anti-police. The shirt said, change starts with us, justice and accountability. Justice and accountability. So, from the outside in, if I see a cop walk away, take offense to that, I'm going to think, I'm going to think, does that cop respect Black lives? Or the loss of Black lives? That's, you can call me a cynic, but that's going to be one of the first thoughts that comes to my mind. So again, what does it accomplish walking out? You lessen security for a game, for people that you're supposed to be protecting. Again, WNBA security is not like working the beat in a neighborhood, in a violent neighborhood. I understand. It's just they're off-duty security guard. They're doing off-duty security for a WNBA game. But the point is, nothing was accomplished. Nothing. An even worse act, you have this, this nut job who goes to a protest in Dallas and kills five cops. Accomplishing nothing in terms of the big picture. He just changed the lives of five different families forever. And instead of us talking about the late Alton Sterling, we are talking about, we're making basically martyrs out of the cops. Instead of talking about, that cop who killed Alton Sterling, him being, locked up, or what laws and policies can get changed for the better. We're talking about, we're hearing things like, hey, the cops, they have, this is why their job is tough, stuff like that, when they face the violence like that. The conversation isn't what it's supposed to be in regards to Alton Sterling or Freddie Gray or the numerous, African American men and women, to a lesser extent, who have lost their lives by the hands of police violence. So two different events that took place, and big picture wise, nothing was accomplished. Big picture. Nothing but pain on one hand, and you can call it subliminal racism on the other. Or maybe it's not subliminal. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Giro Quinn Sports Podcast on a July night with nothing, and I mean nothing, on your sports calendar right now. But that's okay. Stay with us. We have a lot to talk about here. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of Cyril Jr. Quinn Sports Podcast. Busy program on this July night. A couple things of note in the NBA in regards to Adam Silver, who basically came out and basically threw down the gauntlet for what will, without question, be a labor battle after the 2016-2017 NBA season. There's no question that both sides are going to opt out of the deal, opt out of the current labor deal, and, you know, we'll look to make some drastic changes in the next CBA agreement. You know, Adam Silver basically came out and knocked the super team in response to Golden State signing one Kevin Durant. And, you know, if you're Adam Silver, listen, every commissioner works for the owners, period. Every commissioner, every sport works for the owners. So you kind of, you don't take what they say with a grain of salt, but you kind of, you know, you, when you hear a commissioner comes out and make a statement like that, you know for a fact that the owners are not happy. So this is not just Adam Silver speaking. This is, you know, this is Mark Cuban speaking, or a number of other owners speaking. R.C. Buford, excuse me, Peter Holt. Not R.C. R.C. Buford's the general manager. Peter Holt speaking. Clay Bennett. Just name a few. Again, we talked about the Durant move last week with Javon Alford, and we talked about how many things had to happen in order for Durant to make a Golden State. One of the most unique situations that you will ever see. I understand you don't want to see a league where basically you will enter next season with only two teams having a legit chance to win a championship, depending on, as of right now. I mean, who knows what major trades can be, what can happen up into the between now and the beginning of the season, but who knows. But as of right now, it's Golden State and Cleveland. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Cleveland, clear-cut in the East, Golden State, you know, team to beat in the entire league. But that is not a far cry from what the NBA has been for the better part of 30 years. I mean, just look, you know, go through the decades. Go through the 80s. Go through the 80s, it was, you know, Lakers or Celtics. Okay? Go through the 90s, it was the Bulls. In the post-Jordan era, it was the Lakers and Spurs. So, like, there's never, you know, the NBA will never be, you know, have a sense of, there'll never be a sense of parity, because as soon as LeBron James either retires or falls off, the champion will be coming out of the Western Conference. Like, it'll be wide open in the East, but the champion will be, the Western Conference will be, you know, the basically the automatic champion. And I can make a case since 2010 that was, you know, the last championship that the Lakers won, coming off a repeat, since that time, that the NBA has had, somewhat parity. Has had somewhat parity. I mean, Miami won two championships. San Antonio has won. Golden State has won. Dallas has won. So there hasn't been one dominant team, and we've had a dominant player. LeBron's been in all those finals and has won three championships. So he's been the dominant force in terms of an individual player, but there hasn't been a dominant team since 2010. And we've had years where we've had three to four teams, vying for a championship. This past year, there were four legitimate teams that could have won the championship, three in the West and one in the East. You're never going to get a situation in the NBA where you have six or seven champions. Six or seven, eight or nine, 10 teams that go in a championship. This is not going to happen. There are not that many great players in the league. They're just not. Like, you have a lot of talent, but there are not that many players. There are only a handful of franchise-changing players. And most of those, and most of you look at free agency this year, most of the guys went back to their respective teams. Even guys who are not stars, like a Nicholas Batum, when, DeMar DeRozan, who are not, guys who are not superstars. Again, I don't, listen, I anticipate that the NBA is going to do something dramatic. You might see in the next collective bargaining agreement a franchise tag on a player. That might happen. Don't be surprised if you don't see that. I can't think of anything else that could be done to keep these players, in the smaller markets. I just can't see it. And I think that, this type of talk out of Adam Silver also is a direct result, not only just Kevin Durant, but is the overall power that the players have right now in the NBA. NBA players have more power than any of the athletes in any of the four major sports in America. By far, the NBA players have the most power. And it's not even close. In LeBron James, you have the most powerful athlete probably in the world right now. Second thing in regards to the NBA, the Hackershack rule tweaked, not even changed, but tweaked. Again, either get rid of it or leave it alone. The NBA to me just took a in between, took a in between, took the in between route. Just try to please everybody instead of just outright getting rid of it. You go, all right, we're going to do it at the end of each quarter, last 2 minutes of each quarter, not just wait till the fourth quarter. Again, teams are still going to use it. Teams are still going to use it. You just won't see it as much. But to me, again, I would prefer if they would have just left it alone. I understand. It's not the prettiest, it's ugly basketball that kills the rhythm of the game. But the bottom line is, just go out there and just hit, a guy's got to make the free throws. If a guy makes the free throws, we're not even having this conversation. So if I'm a coach, yes, I'm fouling DeAndre Jordan. If we get down by a playoff game or an important game of regular season, we get down by 10 or 8, we get down. Yes, I'm going to try to stop the momentum. Of the Clippers and foul DeAndre Jordan a million times. Make a free throw. Make a free throw. He's making $20 million a year. Make a free throw. Don't like when you start trying to change the game based on the fact of a lack of a skill that a player has. That's all this is. This is a change in the rule or an altering the rule because guys can't make free throws. Coaches do this because guys cannot make free throws. That's the only reason they do it. If guys make free throws, there will be no hacker anybody. 347-215-6180. we return, we'll look back at a legend and get into some TV news as well. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. (347) 215-6180 is a call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We discuss the world of sports and pop culture. Tim Duncan, of course, is done after 19 years. Duncan, one of the greats, one of the all-time greats, went out in typical Tim Duncan fashion, quiet, not a lot of fanfare, not a big press conference, nothing. In a way, you thought that Tim Duncan was going to go out. I thought that this was going to be his last year. After watching him in the playoffs, he had nothing. I mean, nothing left in the tank. Talked about, you know, there's been well reported about his knee, and the fact that he can't straighten one leg. Basically, he's playing on one leg for the past 3 years. And you just saw it in his playoffs. I mean, you know, good for him that he had, you know, he went out. At least he went out. Went out like a champion as far as his individual performance, with the 19 points and 5 rebounds against OKC, even though San Antonio lost the game and lost the series. At least you saw a glimpse of what you had seen over the course of over the better part of 19 years of one of the all-time great careers in NBA history. But he had nothing. I mean, he even had less than Kobe had. After 20 years, I mean, Duncan had turned basically into a non-factor for the Spurs. Crunch time lineups, you didn't see him that much in the playoffs. In the playoffs in that OKC, series, and it was time for him to go. And I'm glad that he didn't hang on to play one more year, because he could have easily played one more year, and it would have been a ceremonial tour across the league over the next year. But bottom line is, you know, Duncan goes out the right way. And when you talk about Tim Duncan, you're talking about a guy who I feel that outside of Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that probably had the greatest career of any player in NBA history. When you talk about wins, consistency, championships, individual numbers, being dominant on both ends of the floor, 15 times all league, 15 times all defense, was all NBA 2 years, last year was third team all NBA, 2 years, 3 years ago was, first team all NBA, still late in his career. Was affected at a time when we know that he didn't have, when he wasn't at his best, and his prime years ended about 5 years ago. His prime was over about 2000 or about 6 years ago, 2009, 2010. Prime Tim Duncan was basically from 99 to about 2009, 2010. Like, those first 10, 12 years, he was untouchable. You give San Antonio a lot of credit for preserving him for over the last 5 6 years and last five or six years of his career. And more importantly, you give him the credit, because there will never be another Tim Duncan. And I'm not just talking about a guy as far as his skill set and what he brought to the table. We know he's as fundamentally as sound of a player has ever been. I'm talking about a guy who cared nothing. I mean, cared nothing about, didn't care anything about, but just only cared about winning. I mean, Tim Duncan, his last 4 years of his career, excuse me, last 5 years of his career, made $9 million, $9 million, $10 million, $10 million, and $5 million. He signed a 3-year deal a couple years back for $30 million, when he could have easily went anywhere and signed for 20 or 25 million easily in terms of market value. I mean, we're seeing Bismack Biyako get a $70 million deal. You don't think Tim Duncan could get a $15-20 million deal a couple years ago or last year? So, you know, he not only, you know, sacrificed them to help them get that last championship in 2014, he also set them up for the future with the transition from him to LaMarcus Aldridge to Kawhi Leonard. Again, you will never see another guy in this day and age that great, that unselfish. Like, if you're drafting a player, you're building a player in the last 20, 25 years, which we've seen, you know, the likes of Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, you know, Kevin Garnett, just name a few great players. You're taking Tim Duncan. You're taking Tim Duncan because you're getting an all-time great, but you're not getting any drama in the locker room. You're not getting any off-the-field nonsense. And you're going to get a guy who's going to completely sacrifice himself for your franchise. And you're never going to see a guy like that. Never. I have full confidence in saying that you will never see that Tim Duncan. They just don't make, you know, in terms of not just so much the player, but just from a personality standpoint, from a standpoint of just as a teammate. Like, I would say he is this generation's Bill Russell. And that must have been how Bill Russell was on the Boston Celtics. Not caring about his numbers, just caring about winning. All Duncan was about was winning. Only Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Robert Parrish have won more regular season games than Tim Duncan. Duncan, for his career, winning percentage of 7-10 on teams that he was on. 19 all every year he was in the league. Excuse me, every year he was in the league, his team made the playoffs. About 15 of those years, San Antonio was either winning championships or a legit championship contender. Rarely did you ever enter a season where you didn't think San Antonio could not win a championship. You look at Tim Duncan's career, you know, there's a lot of what ifs in his career. You know that? Like, what if he would have got drafted by the Celtics? What would Greg Popovich's career look like if that would have happened? Would we even know Greg Popovich? I mean, seriously. You know, there was a reason why Greg Popovich gave that tearful goodbye a couple of days ago to Tim Duncan. I mean, not only, you know, Popovich came out and flat out and said it, I would not be here if it was not for Tim Duncan, period. Nobody knew Greg Popovich in 1997. Nobody. Greg Popovich was the general manager, came down to coach the team. Nobody knew, like, Greg Popovich from a hole in the wall. All of a sudden, you know, voila, you know, he hits the jackpot and lands Tim Duncan. What if Tim Duncan would have went to Orlando? Remember, summer 2000, he had opportunity to, was a free agent, and had opportunity to go play with Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady. Even if Grant Hill wasn't healthy, Tim Duncan alone, with Tracy McGrady and Tim Duncan alone, that team was a contender for championships for years to come. What if San Antonio would have let him play with that knee injury in 2000? Remember, they sat him with that meniscus, and that was the first case, one of the first cases of a microfracture. That he was one of the few people that survived that microfracture. They sat him like, listen, we don't care about the previous championship. We're going to sit you so you can, you know, extend your career. And it turned out to be, of course, the move that in essence saved his career. So Duncan, again, all-time great, one of the top six or seven players of all time without question. He's been the greatest power forward. I don't know why people keep saying that. He clinched that about 5 years ago. I mean, he was the greatest power forward in 2010, maybe even before that. So that's almost like, that goes without saying that he's the best power forward of all time. And a guy that if you are looking to build a franchise around, you're starting with that Tim Duncan. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Four seven two one five 6180 is your call number on this latest edition of Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Russell Westbrook expected to be traded for the regular season. There's some thoughts and rumors about that. Listen, we know the history of Oklahoma City. There's no question in my mind that Russell Westbrook will be traded before the season started. Sam Presti is not gonna wait. He can get the best offers like now, even before the season. The longer you wait, the less the offers. The longer you wait, the worse the offers are gonna be. And you definitely can't, go into the next offseason in the same situation as they were with Kevin Durant. The thought is that the Celtics could be the top team, in the bidding for Russell Westbrook. They have the assets. They have, you can give them an Avery Bradley. You can give them a lot of draft picks. You can give them Marcus Smart or Jay Crowder. They have a number of players, and they won't have to gut their roster in order to do it. So, you put Russell Westbrook on a team with Al Horford, and, some of the other pieces that they have. Isaiah Thomas. They'll be right there with Cleveland as far as the contenders on the Eastern Conference for the Eastern Conference Championship next year. They are right. Like, Boston's very good now. Again, you put Russell Westbrook in the Eastern Conference, that would definitely, Boston would definitely compete for a conference championship without question. The question is, you're Boston. And again, Boston, a number of teams are going to, one of these teams are going to take this risk. Do you sign him? Do you give up assets, banking on the fact of him signing next offseason? And if you're Boston, I think you have to take that risk. You're looking for a superstar. He's a top five player. You get him in there, have a deep playoff run, and say and tell him, listen, we will build our franchise around you, period. You're in the future. You can hang banners. You can be, you're in the Eastern Conference. You're not going to go through, you have one team to beat in the Eastern Conference right now. And that's the Cleveland Cavaliers. Believe it's your chance. So if I'm Boston, again, Lakers, I would not do it if I'm the Lakers. They would have to gut their team to get Westbrook. So other teams, I would not gut my team to get him. It's a piece of purpose. If you're Boston, you almost have to do this. You have to offer. You have to offer the draft picks. You have to offer a Jay Crowder or a combination of Crowder, Smart, or Crowder, even Avery Bradley to get Westbrook. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, he will be traded before the season starts. I guarantee you this would not be a conversation come training camp. I wouldn't be surprised if the deal happened in August. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened at the end of this month, to be honest with you. I'm sure there's some conversations going on as we, over the course of the next couple of days, the next couple of weeks, in terms of what the market is. We should be high. There are a number of teams that should be after Westbrook. Three four seven 215-6180 is the call number. Of course, Sunday you have the premiere of Power Season 3. Highly anticipated premiere. Power now has gone from, a cute summer show to the franchise show of an entire network. I mean, just in 1 year. They moved, they pushed back the release, not the release date, but they pushed back the premiere from basically a month. The first two seasons premiered the first weekend in June. Now, second, basically doing the third weekend in July, and they push it back a day as far as the regular night's going to be on. It's going to be on Sundays now. And anybody that knows anything about television knows that you get a Sunday through Thursday, that's a major television night. So on Sunday through Thursday. Now, Friday, Saturday, that's when the show is about to go off the air. But you get a show on Sunday night, that's a big time night. So we'll see what happens in season three. Who knows? There's a lot of talk about this. There's gonna be a lot of violence, a lot of double crossing, a lot, a lot of keeping the audience off guard. You heard some of that talk in regards to what's going to happen in this season. It's going to happen in season three. I'll say this. Oklahoma City, excuse me, Golden State has its big four. Power has its big four. In terms of Ghost, Angela, Tommy, and Tasha. One of those four has to go this season. For me, for it to be a successful season, one of those four has to go. They have to kill off one of those characters. So that probably will now. I don't think. You never. I don't know because this show is story led. I don't think they would kill Omari Harvest character, a Ghost. I don't think. I doubt it. So that would be what Tommy, Tasha, or Angela. One of those characters has to go, in my opinion. But yeah, the writing has been great. It was great in season two. Took a big jump from season one to season two. That's the thing about this show. This show, again, season one, it was a nice summer show. Something to watch with no Breaking Bad, with no Mad Men, with no Game of Thrones. Last season went to a whole nother level. I mean, it really did. And again, you saw the results of that, them moving from Saturday to Sunday and them being able to push back the premiere almost for an entire month. The other show to take note of that you should be paying attention to, HBO has a show called The Night Of. I don't know if you caught the premiere, season premiere last Sunday. Apparently they have been. I didn't know this. They have been on available on demand. Going all the way back to July, excuse me, June 24th. I did not know that until last week. But and I love I love murder mystery. So I was already taken back from it. When I was starting to read stuff about it. Also, you have Richard Price who wrote for The Wire, and is one of the great crime novelists. Got, Clockers, things of that nature. One of the great American crime novelists, in the country, without question. He's one of the main writers on it. This show has all the makings. It's only going to be eight episodes, eight-part miniseries. Josh Turrell, I'm a big Josh Turrell fan. He's the main lead detective. You have a couple of people from The Wire, J.D. Williams, Bodie. Is in it. Had a nice role in the first episode. Again, classic film noir, murder mystery, looks like a, dead the rights case in terms of what happened, but there's more than, more than meets the eye. So I would definitely recommend that show for some summer watching as you wait for the fall to commence and so you can get back into Empire and Grey's Anatomy. 347-215-6180 is call number. We'll be right back. It's a call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We began the program, of course, talking about what transpired at the Minnesota Lynx basketball game a couple of days ago. You had four off-duty police officers walk off the court, leave their post basically at the scene. The Minnesota Lynx team come out with shirts that stated change starts with us. Change starts with us, justice and accountability. Of course, that was on the, coming off the tragic shooting and murder of one Alton Sterling. You had also five police officers gunned down by a sniper in Dallas. And two acts that basically, in the big picture, in the grand scheme of things, in terms of a positive standpoint, served no purpose whatsoever. And, no laws were changed, no policies were made, no one was held accountable for what happened in terms of Alton Sterling. And now, the narrative went from Alton Sterling to police officers now being basically protected by a nutcase who decides to take the law into his own hands and shoot cops. On the second hand, you had, again, four off-duty police officers serving as security for a WNBA game decide that they want to stage their own, protest and refuse to do security because of a t-shirt or what was said on a t-shirt. And again, two cases where, from a positive standpoint, nothing was accomplished. Nothing. And again, you're going to see this, if you think the racial divide was big, beforehand, is that gap is going to get wider because there's a growing sense of all lives, the Black Lives Matters versus All Lives Matter. And I'm telling you right now, people who see All Lives Matters being promoted are going to think that, you're just a flat out racist. Okay. This is all there is to it. Or they're going to think it's just a way to disparage, Black Lives Matters. But again, if you killing five cops is not going to solve the epidemic of police violence against African Americans. This is not. And it's unfortunate that the attention has been taken off one Alton Sterling and put on a nutcase who basically did anybody who, who didn't like, who doesn't, basically anybody who was against Black Lives Matter basically did that person or those individuals a favor with his action. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cinnamon Drill Quinn Sports Podcast. I will catch you next time. Enjoy the rest of your week. So long.